Would you open your Bibles with me, beloved, to the Gospel of Matthew and chapter 22. The Gospel of Matthew and chapter 22. Kingdom of Heaven is like a certain king who made a marriage for his son. And he sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them who are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all the things are ready. Come to the marriage. They made light of it. They went their ways, one to his farm and another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and treated them shamefully and slew them. But when the king heard of it, he was angry. And he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then said he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they who were bidden were not worthy. Go therefore into the highways, and as many as you shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all, as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. When the king came in to see the guest, he saw there a man who had not on a wedding garment. He said unto him, friend, how camest thou in here not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. Jesus has just ridden into Jerusalem on the donkey, offering himself as the Messiah, as the King of Israel, come to establish the kingdom. John the Baptist had preached for some time that the kingdom was at hand, and that the people were to repent, and that Jesus came, John having pointed Jesus and said, now this is the one about whom I spoke. And Jesus picked up John's message and said, repent, the kingdom is truly at hand. And Jesus proclaimed this for about 3.5 years, but yet never during that time did he really offer himself as King Messiah. Rather, he offered what it would take to them to become a part of the kingdom. That the nation of Israel as a whole was rebellious, unsaved, and non-repentant. That though John the Baptist had called them to repent, they hadn't repented. Now, individual Jews had. But we're talking about the nation, because Jesus has come to establish a kingdom on earth. To sit on David's literal throne. A throne on earth. Not the heavenly throne. He's already been sitting on it for all eternity past. And so we remembered that all these years up until now, when Jesus healed the sick, when he did his miracles, he would tell people, don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody. And then he would say things like this, my hour has not yet come. In other words, Jesus was not at that moment playing up the part of the message that there's a time, now is the time. Because the people were to examine their hearts, were to examine his message, were to examine the Lamb before them to see if he really was the Lamb without spot and blemish. And so God, in his grace and in his mercy, had given the people about 3.5 years to look him over. Now Jesus comes to Jerusalem, and for the first time, shall I put it this way, he stages an entrance. Never had he done anything like this. Never had he advertised or in any way staged an entrance. But this time he did. He sends the disciples and he tells them exactly what to do. You'll go here and you'll find this little village, and there'll be a donkey, and she'll have a colt, and this young colt has never been ridden. I want you to get them. Someone will be there. They'll ask you what you're doing taking our animals. You'll tell them the master has need, and then they'll give it to you. And then you'll bring it to me, and everything is da-da-da-da-da. Everything is being lined out. And the disciples, you remember, threw their garments on the donkey as he comes in, and the people begin to shout. And as they're coming up the Mount of Olives, everyone's excited about it. And they're saying, "This here comes Hosanna. Here comes the King." As they quote Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. "He's humble and meek and lowly." They said he's the son of David. But then as they got closer to the temple, you'll recall that the presence of the religious leaders put a damper on the enthusiasm. They began to water down the message. Because then they said, "Well, who is this person?" And they've been saying who he was. "The King! The King! The son of David!" But the closer they got to the temple, the pressure from the religious leaders, suddenly the message changed. "Well, he's the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee." Quite a watered-down version of what they had been shouting up on top of the Mount of Olives. But then, as Jesus came to the temple, threw out the money changers, healed the blind and the lame, the children there at the temple area began to sing the same thing. See, you couldn't intimidate the children. The religious leaders couldn't intimidate children. And the children began to sing out the exact same things that their parents had said back up on the top of the Mount of Olives. "Hosanna, save us now, thou son of David." They called him the son of David, the unique son of David. And so now, Jesus comes and the leaders reject him, even seeing the miracles. They said they saw him heal these people. And they're furious that Jesus is receiving this praise. They comprehend that this praise is due the Messiah. And they're furious. And they say, "Do you hear what your disciples are saying?" He says, "Yes, I do." But they stop them. And he says, "If I stop them, the very rocks would cry out." And when his adult disciples begin to water down the message, the children perfected the praise. As out of the mouths of babes and sucklings came forth the pure word that this was truly the Son of David. And then Jesus offered them a series of three parables, and tonight's lesson is the third. The first parable, of course, was the parable of the two sons. And he said, now, there was a man that had two sons, and he had a vineyard. And he said to one son, "Go into my vineyard and work." And the son said, "No, I will not do it." But afterward he repented, and then he went in and worked. Then he had another son, and he said, "You go into my vineyard and work." And of course we learned from last week that the vineyard in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 1 through 7, and Psalms chapter 80, and many other scriptures, the vineyard was typified Israel. And he's sending people into Israel to do the work of encouraging the people and leading the people to the Lord and encouraging the people to follow God.